The sermon you are about to hear was preached by Dr. Bob Gray Sr. from the pulpit of Longview Baptist Temple, where he pastored the greatest soul-winning church of our time for over 29 years. Through the course of his ministry, over 1 million souls were led to Christ. And now, here is Dr. Bob Gray Sr.
I'm so proud of Brother Gabucci. His health has not been good. Of course, he's always been mentally challenged. But I'm so proud of him hanging in there. I want to talk to you this morning about the subject, telling helps believing. Telling helps believing. I want you to notice in Psalm 62 and verse 2, he said, "He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense." Then he said, "I shall not be greatly moved." But then in verse 6, after he gets talking about the goodness of God and how God, and he starts telling others that don't worry, and he starts talking about in verse 6, and he concludes this: "He only is my rock and my salvation is my defense." He said, "I shall not be moved. I shall not be moved." So I want to talk to you about telling helps believing. I hope you'll follow the logic carefully, the reasoning carefully this morning. Father, help me to help. I want to be a blessing. I thank you for the faithful people that are here this morning and the folks who keep this church going. And they've chose to be old-fashioned fundamentalists, and they've chose to be separatists and Baptist doctrine and King James only. And that's their choice. And we're a remnant. I understand that. But Father, please, we need your power. We need your help. God's people have always been a remnant. And I pray that our people will just love you more and more and get into the Word more and more. But this morning, help me to help them, please. In Jesus' name I ask it, amen. Look this way, and please listen carefully. In verse 2, the psalmist said, "I shall not be greatly moved," which meant, boy, I'm having it rough. I'm getting moved a little bit here. But then he, in verse 6, after talking for a while, he says, you know what? After thinking about it, "I shall not be moved." Now, something happened in between verses 2 and verse 6. He took the word "greatly" out. And by the way, I'm a Bible believer. I didn't get enough amens on that. I said I'm a Bible believer. I believe it so much that I don't think you ought to fool with the Word of God. And I think you've got the King James Bible. There's no need for new versions of the Bible. Us pump fundamentalists are so shallow, and you liberals call us we're shallow because we believe the King James. How come you have to have an easier Bible if this thing's so tough? Son, put your feet off the pew there and sit up and listen to me carefully, son. We're only going to be here for 4 hours, so don't worry about it. The psalmist said, Brother Lander said, "Oh, me." Did you hear in his prayer today? He said, "Lord, it's good to be under the feet of the preacher." Did you hear that? It's supposed to be at the feet of the preacher learning, and that's okay. That's okay. Please don't take offense at that, Brother Landers, or I'll beat you. The psalmist said in verse 2, "I shall not be greatly moved." You know, this is good because I got somebody to pick on because Brother House picked on me all these years. Now I'm going to pick on you for the rest of my life. But the rest of these guys are glad about it too, aren't you? The psalmist said in verse 2, "I shall not be greatly moved." Then in the verses that follow, he discusses the goodness of God, the strength of God, the protection of God. And then in verse 6, he says, "I shall not be moved." So something happened in these verses. More faith was generated between verses 2 and 6. There was a little question mark in verse 2 when he said, "I shall not be greatly moved. I might be moved, but not greatly, but moved some." But in verse 6, he concludes, he says, you know, I thought about it, and after I've tried to tell others about the goodness of God and the protection of God, nope, there's no way I will be moved. Greatly or slightly, I will not be moved at all. So here he climbed from trembling confidence to matchless assurance. And the song of the singer here gained courage for him as he spoke and as he told others how his own faith began to increase, as always is the case. Listen to this. Reminding others always reminds yourself. I cannot see the way. I notice that you cannot see the way. But I remind you that there is a way. I then also believe there is a way. Because as I reminded you there is a way, I too was strengthened as I told it that there was a way. So I help you to find your way, and then I can find my way. So okay, jot this verse down. How about this one? Revelation 12, 11. Wake up and get this, and then go back to sleep. Revelation 12, 11. He said they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. But something else here. He said, and the word of their testimony. So now it takes more than just, please, not, I'm not talking about salvation now. The only thing it takes for salvation, the blood of the Lamb to be applied to your sins, and they're wiped away and they're gone. You don't work your way to heaven. You get cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ so you can go to heaven. But he's talking about living for God. He's talking about Christians living for God. And he says they overcame him, the Christians overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb. But and the word of their testimony. If there's something in the Bible that you sort of believe, somehow you cannot apply it to your life, then you listen to me now. Listen to me. Hey, young man, yeah, open your Bible. Get your Bible in your lap. That's right. Pick up that Bible right there. I don't care if it's not yours. Steal it and open it up. God will forgive you. Somehow you cannot apply it to your life. Then you take somebody ought to have that Bible open. Someone else who has the same problem and encourage them to believe it, and you'll find miraculously somehow your belief begins to grow. God has the answer to their problem, and it dawns on you that God has your answer. By your talking about it, you convince yourself. You'd be amazed at how much faith is mustered after a sermon than before a sermon. You'd be amazed. You'd absolutely be amazed. What helps me through my problem is helping you through your problem. Remind the sick that God loves them. Remind the hurting that God loves them. Remind the brokenhearted that God loves them. Remind those that are suffering that God loves them. Remind the orphan that God loves them. Remind the widow that God loves them. Remind the abused that God loves them. Do you doubt it? Then tell it. The psalmist said, I shall not be greatly moved. Maybe move a little bit. Life's tough and it's hard. I maybe move a little bit. Then he talks about how good God is and the protection of God and the strength of God. And all of a sudden he talks about all of this strength and this goodness. And then he just 4 verses later, by his own testimony of the goodness of God and strength of God, he blurts it out. And all of a sudden he says, I'll tell you what, after thinking about it, I shall not be moved. Now, what was it? He was strengthened by the attempt to strengthen someone else. I cannot bear my burden. I see you have a burden. So I remind you that God will help you bear your burden. I then believe that God will help me bear my burden. God helps you bear your burden, and God helps me bear my burden because I opened my mouth and said something to you to try to help you. You silent Christians are weak Christians. You vocal Christians are strong Christians. The ones that never say anything are the weak ones. But the ones that open their mouth and say, hey, I'll tell you what God says about that answer. If you have a burden this morning that you need help with, you look for someone else who has a similar burden and you reason with them with the word and convince them God will help them with their burden. And all of a sudden, listen to me, this is Bible now. I'm not making this up. All of a sudden you will find that suddenly you have convinced yourself that God will help you. Why? Because you opened your mouth, told somebody else, and I'll say it again, silent Christians are weak Christians. Say that with me. Silent Christians are weak Christians. Say it again. Silent Christians are weak Christians. So open your mouth and talk to people about the goodness of God. If you have a burden this morning, I promise you this sermon will help you. I promise you. But it's not going to help you if all you do is sit there and take it in. You've got to open your big fat mouth or your skinny mouth, and you've got to tell people about the goodness of God. All right. So then you find yourself talking to others. You find strengthening them through the word of God strengthens you. If there's a heavy load on you today, don't sit around in self-pity. Don't sit around feel sorry for yourself. Don't sit around in a sorrowful state. Find somebody with the same problem, the same burden, the same heartache, the same load. Then I'll tell you what to do. You go to them. See, look for them in the neighborhood. Look for them in the apartment complex. On purpose, get a bus route. On purpose, get a Sunday school class. On purpose, I'm trying to help you, Christians. Silent Christians are what? Weak Christians. Say it again. Silent Christians are what? Weak Christians, open your mouth, talk to people, and try to be a blessing to people. Is there a heavy load on you today?
then you listen carefully. Find somebody with the same heavy load. You go to them with the Word of God, and you sit down and say, can I help you with the Word of God? And you watch. Okay, jot this down. Mark 9. I'll give you some examples. Mark 9. In Mark 9, the Bible says, Lord, the dad said, I believe, help me with mine, thou with mine unbelief. Okay, now that all of us are in that boat. All of us, we say to the Lord, help me with mine unbelief. Now, what's the Bible answer? The Bible answer is for you to tell others what the answer is. It's the Word of God. So by faith, I read the Bible and I say, this is the answer. This is the answer. I'm going to tell people what the answer is. And in so doing, it helps me. All right, write this down. Hebrew children. They said, we'll not bow down and worship the golden image. Okay, we'll put you in a fire furnace, they said. Then they said, the Hebrew children said, well, our God will deliver us. Listen to this. But if he doesn't, we'll still not bow down. Did they have doubt? Yeah, they had doubt. I'll tell you, throw us in that furnace and you see what God does. And I'll tell you, we hope God comes through. That's doubt. They're human beings. They're trapped in flesh. You're a human being. You're trapped in flesh. Don't sit here and think you're not a weak Christian because you have doubt. You're a weak Christian because you don't tell anybody what God said the answer is. You're not weak because you doubt. You're human. Human being. Everybody doubts. But open your big fat mouth. Why do I keep saying that? Open your weight loaded. Anyway, just tell people what the answer is. Do you know soul winning is the best way in the world? Listen, boys. Hey, boys, that back row, sit up and listen to me. Do you know for you to go soul winning is the best thing in the world that it'll help you with most of your problems in life? Do you know there are people going to hell? How many of you are going to heaven this morning? You're going to heaven this morning. Boys, you keep your hands off each other. Do you understand that? You listen to me while I'm preaching this morning. How many of you are saved and on your way to heaven? Don't slouch down. Sit up. Sit up. You get an arch in your back and we'll have to send you to McDonald's. Hold it up. How many of you are saved and on your way to heaven? Okay, I can help you this morning. By the way, I can help you on your job. This is interesting. The survey of the class from the Ivy League of those that entered into business, guess what they found out about the graduating the muckety-mucks from the big colleges that get the big jobs? They have no personal skills. Listen to this now. The biggest complaint, you know what they're teaching in master's classes now at Columbia and Yale and Harvard? Etiquette. You know what they're teaching now? They're teaching personal skills, people skills. If you want to get ahead, you learn to have good people skills. And you Christians have got an advantage on everybody else because God commanded you to go soul winning so you can get out there and work and get the gospel out and develop your people skills, and I promise you'll get a promotion. Interpersonal relationships is a weakness in Americans now. Look at the kids graduating from college. Their pants are pulled down, showing their choo-choos and their hair every which way in the world. They won't put a white shirt on, a tie to go for an interview. They can't get a job, can't keep a job because they have no interpersonal skills, personal working with people. And I'm saying to you, you go ahead and just say, put this off as a preacher trying to force me to go out and go, I don't want to go soul winning. You don't want to get ahead. You won't get ahead. I promise you won't. Just a little sideline. By the way, that's not going to cost you a thing. But doubt turns into faith if you talk it. Doubt turns into faith if you share it. Doubt turns into faith if you tell it. Doubt turns into faith if you do it. The psalmist says, I shall not be greatly moved. Then he talks of the goods, God's goodness and God's strength and God's protection and God's love and God's concern and his greatness. Then suddenly, four verses later, he says, I'll tell you, I'll be switched. What's that what it says there? I shall not be moved. If you're a sailor and somebody sings Anchors Away, does that do something for you? If you're a sailor. You got any sailors here, ex-sailors here? You hear Anchors Away. Doesn't it do something to your heart? There's inspiration in it. Okay, if someone hears the Halls of Montezuma, that's not the revenge, but the Halls of Montezuma. Any Marines here, ex-Marines here? Any Marines? Okay, tell me that doesn't mean something to you, Brother Spencer. Tell me it just doesn't do something to you. You Catholics here this morning, the Notre Dame fight song does something for you. You Baptists here, Baylor losing all the time does nothing for you. But there's something about, I hear Michigan State University fight song. That's where I went to college. And it does, I'm sorry, but it does. Mrs. Gray, it's the University of Michigan. It does something for her. But did you say amen to that? You said amen to that? Oh, backslid staff. But But I'm just saying to you, there's something about things that encourage us and inspire us. Well, if you're Christian, how many you're saved? How many you're saved? Wave it at me, you're saved. Okay, then there ought to be something about the Word of God that inspires us. Listen to this statement. There is strength received when strength is given. Listen to this statement. There is faith received when faith is given. The psalmist said, I shall not be greatly moved. Then 4 verses later, after talking about God's goodness, he said, I'll tell you what, he shouts, I shall not be moved. Why? He's been talking about the goodness of God. I'll say it again, silent Christians are weak Christians. Now, why is he shouting it now? Because he's been talking about the goodness of God. I have some doubts. I notice you have some doubts. I remind you that God gives assurance. And then that strengthens myself in God's assurance. I lead you to assurance, but also I gain assurance. I'm very weak. I see also you are very weak. I tell you of God's strength, and then I believe God can strengthen me. God gives you strength, and God gives me strength. I have a problem that seems unsolvable. I notice you have a problem that seems unsolvable. I remind you that God can solve your problem. I then believe that God can solve my problem. God does solve your problem, and God also does stop to solve mine. I'm lonely. I see that you too are lonely. I remind you that God is always with you. I then believe that God is always with me. And you're no longer lonely, and I'm no longer lonely. Why? Because I opened my mouth and told you about God. I do not know the answers. I see that you have a question. You do not know the answers. I remind you that Christ is the answer. Then I believe that Christ is the answer. I hope somebody's listening to me this morning. And Christ answers your question, and then Christ answers my question. I think God has mistreated me. I notice you think God has mistreated you too. I plead with you on behalf of God's goodness. Don't turn your back on God. And I plead God's case. In pleading, I convince me that God has not ultimately mistreated me. So you go away, I go away, rejoicing in Romans 8:28, and we shout because all things do work together because we love God. I'm telling you, I convinced me while I convinced you. That's what he's talking about. I think God has forgotten me. I notice that you think that God too has forgotten you. I remind you that God is always with you. In reminding you, then I remind myself. I doubt my salvation. I notice you doubt yours too. I take the scriptures and show you how to know you're saved. And in reminding you, I remind myself, you are assured of your salvation. I am assured of mine. Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So somebody's got to tell it, and those who need to hear it are both the teller and the listener. Boy, I hope somebody listened to me today. Both the teller and the listener. I'm discouraged. I notice that you too are discouraged. I remind you that God will encourage you. I believe God will encourage you. I believe now God will encourage me. So in encouraging you, I am encouraging me. Get your pen out. Let me give you some things to do. We're going to get out of here. I'm hungry. I get collard greens today. I get squash today. I get a special order of beans today. And then I get 7 ounces of fish, grilled fish today. I get 16 ounces of bottled water at noon today. I'm encouraging you today. Let me give you some statements here. Number one. Remind others of God's goodness and strength. Remind others of God's goodness. Look for people to help. Look for people to help. When you find people that need help, you look for people to help, then tell them of God's goodness and grace. Look, the biggest problem here is you're not doing anything for God. Look, let me show you what you are. Here's exactly what you are. Exactly what you are. When you come to church, you're like a horse going to a stall. You got your pew and you just come in here and you don't even look to see who's sitting there and you just sit down. Somebody help me now. You don't even stop. That's your pew, and there should not be anybody sitting in that pew. Your Bible's up on the dash of the car, and it's there all week long. And so when you come to church, you just grab it and then you walk into the church. Or you leave it in the pew, hoping that it'll still be there when you get back. But the truth of the matter is, that's what it is. Everybody, they come to church and, yeah, I know what he's going to say. And young fundamentalists, same old thing, obey your parents. And the same thing here. And offering, preacher hollers about tithes and offerings and so on and so forth. No, you missed the whole point. You are a silent Christian, and you are a weak Christian, and you better open your mouth and tell people about the goodness of God, but you got to look for the people. You got to look for the people. They're all around you. In a store yesterday, I was getting something. I went in the store to get something. A lady in front, she was $2.50 short on her groceries that she was getting. You know what I did? I took out $2.50, last $2.50 I had, and gave it that lady so she could get her groceries. That was after I bought my stuff. But so that she could get those groceries. Now, you know something? You look around you. There are people that are hurting. I promise you, it'll get you off yourself. You won't be near as critical, near as mad. And get that chip off your shoulder. Quit looking for statements that'll make you mad and get you offended. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. Say, help me now. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend. If you're offended by anything, you're not in the Bible. You're not in the Word of God. You're not in the work of God. Well, I'm just saying to you, look for people to help. Look for people. Remind others of God's goodness. Look for people. Number two, in reminding, you are rehearsing. In reminding, you are rehearsing. The only reason you're bitter right now is because that water's stale. Next to our house, we've got more mosquitoes. You got mosquitoes this year? Or we're the only ones? I'll tell you why we're the only ones got mosquitoes in the whole world. But we didn't realize it, but outside of our house, when the water comes off and we've got this little drain that runs out, what it did, it created a pool at the end of the chute down there, and that thing of the water, spout where the glory comes out, down the water comes out and it goes out in the yard. But what it did, it started eroding away the ground. And when it did, Brother Bob, it gave a pool of water there, and that thing sat there and sat there and sat there till it started breeding mosquitoes. And we couldn't figure out what in the world where those mosquitoes are coming from. I haven't mowed a lawn since Bobby left home. And so I went out there and noticed that thing. So we cleaned that thing out and put some rock in there and so on, this wee stuff. We poured the cement in the back of the church too. But we got rid of the mosquitoes. And so that was where am I going? What is this? Mosquitoes. What was I talking about? About what? What? Stay of water. That's it. Thank you. You all are flunked and you passed this morning. But what happened was that water sat there. You're laughing now, aren't you? You've done that 1,000 times, haven't you? Don't laugh at me. But that water got stale. And I'm going to tell you what it does. It breeds nothing but trouble. The Dead Sea. You know what the Dead Sea is? The richest body of water in the world. And when they find out, we know this because the Bible says so, but all the oil reserves, when all the oil production runs out, you know where they're going to find it? They're going to find it in the Dead Sea. And you know what the world's going to do? The world, because we're so mechanized in this world and we need oil. We need it bad. So the world is going to fight over that Dead Sea. But that Dead Sea stinks. When I went on a tour of the Holy Land, the first time I went over top that hill and smelled like sulfur, smelled like rotten eggs. And topped that hill, and the tour guide said, we're about to come to the Dead Sea that stinks because there's no outlet. Let me tell you what happens to your life. You don't, there's nothing. All you do is come to church and take in, it never goes out. All you do is go to Sunday school, take it in, and never go. Come on, I'm trying to help. I'm not trying to hurt you. I just said, David said, all right, I shall not be greatly moved. Then 4 verses later, he's after talking about the goodness of God, he said, I'll tell the whole world now, I'll shout it, I shall not be moved. And by the way, you're not a better Christian than David. So remind others of God's goodness and strength. And then reminding, you are rehearsing. Number three, in rehearsing, you are reinforcing. When you rehearse this with others, be a bus captain. And by the way, you bus captain, get on that bus and teach the Bible. Get on that bus and preach the Bible. Don't just let them ride to church. You make sure you teach the Bible. You want a place to preach? Get on the bus route. Go down to the mission down here. Find you a place. But I'm saying in rehearsing, you are reinforcing. Then number four, in reinforcing, you are reconciling. In reinforcing, you are reconciling. Then what happens is you begin to reconcile the things in your life. You begin to reconcile in your life with God. But why? Because I'm trying to help Brother John reconcile in his life. I'm trying to help Brother Dawes, Dr. Rousseau, reconcile in his life. And when I spend my time helping others and winning souls and getting people saved and spend my life on others, and I find myself then rehearsing and I find myself being reinforced, and then all of a sudden I find myself being reconciled that God was right. God, three of us think it. God was right. Say amen to me. God, ladies, do this so at least I know, are you okay? All right, okay. David said, I shall not be greatly moved. He said, I may be moved a little bit. I'm getting nudged a little bit. My faith is, I got some doubt in there, and I may have to move a little bit. But then he got telling somebody about the goodness of God, the strength of God, and the next thing you know, he's shouting. And I'll tell you one thing, I shall not be moved. Why? He opened his mouth, and you silent Christians are weak Christians, and you're weak in every area of your life. You have, where does confidence come from? It comes for you Christians, it comes from Christ. Standing up straight. Smile on your face. Walking briskly. Doing your job well. Being confident in what you're doing. Good personal skills. Being able to talk with people. God has answered. In fact, if you know one of the things I've taught, you ought to come on Wednesday night for this Taking Control of Life series I'm doing. But I went to Ephesians chapter 6 and talked about the armor of God Wednesday night, and I said, backed up, look at all the interpersonal relationships that are there that are being protected by this. Now, you don't go soul-winning. That's one of the parts of the armor. No wonder you can't communicate with your wife. No wonder you can't communicate with your children. No wonder you're not getting ahead on the job. No wonder. You're a deadhead. And God has the answer. Go soul-winning. Tell people how to be saved. Tell them how to get born again. Tell them. Look. Somewhere in here, we're all doubters, we're all in this flesh, but somewhere in here is an answer. God gave you an answer this morning. You sit there and blow up like a toad frog all you want to, but God's got something for you to help you this morning. We're all in the same boat here, folks. We're all stuck on this planet. All of us got bills to pay. All of us, most of us got mother-in-laws. But somewhere in here, you're going to have to back up a little bit and say, I've got to start telling about the goodness of God. I have to. Because in doing so, look, that's why you ought to come to church. Not just Sunday morning. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, you ought to be here. Do you know why? Because when you come and before the sermon starts, your faith meter is about down here. Then about halfway through the sermon, it starts getting up here. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. I'm preaching the Bible to you this morning. So you know what happens? Your faith gets a little stronger, and then you come back and gets a little stronger. But if you do not start telling it, you will be stuck on verse 2 where you'll say, well, I'll not be greatly moved. I'll be moved a little bit. But if you'll tell it and open your mouth and tell what you've learned by hearing the word of God, then after a while, you'll shout it to all your teenage friends. You'll shout it to everybody around you, your neighbors, your worldly neighbors. Oh, you'll say, I'll tell you one thing, I shall not be moved. Oh, yeah. Make all the difference in the world. And shucks, corn shucks, you might even start smiling after a while. You preacher boys might even start fighting for the front rows after a while. Might even start shouting amen after a while. And boy, if it really gets bad, you'll start tithing. Well, that's when you know you're really bit by it. Somewhere in here, you and I are going to have to understand, we've got to start telling people. There's no greater joy in the world than to tell people about the goodness of God. Man, you feel good when you do it. There's something cleansing about it, trying to help somebody. Brother Caps, who came to me the other day, said, I think he had 16 saved in the jail. 16 saved in the jail. Now, when he came and told me that, he didn't come up and say, well, I'll tell you what, I had 16 saved in jail. No, he didn't. He saw me going around the corner. He goes, preacher, guess what I had? I had 16 saved. And I said, okay, let go of me. I'm already saved. But excited. Now, that's the way it, forgive me, Brother Caps, for saying this. But I don't think he was near as excited before he went. Am I telling the truth? He wasn't near as excited before he went. But after he went and opened his mouth, started telling people how to be saved, then what did he say? Preacher, guess what? Guess what? I had 16 saved. Forgive me for saying this, Brother Bob, and I hope you don't take offense at this. You're ugly. When he was I tell you the truth, the one I was worried about most of our kids was Kim. Being honest with you. The last one I was worried about was Bob. When we got here, Kim became the strong one, and Bob struggled. A girl said something about me in a Sunday school, or a class one time in LCA. Said something. You know what she did? She decked the girl. I probably shouldn't tell this. Megan's going around knocking everybody out now, but deck the girl. But
Bob struggled. But one day, listen to this now. This is why you got, I believe you got the greatest youth director in the world. Now, I know he's my son, but I still believe he's the greatest youth director in the world. One day after soul winning, he met me. The bus pulled up here. He ran. My car was coming to the parking lot. He ran where the bus is unloaded and ran all the way across the parking lot, jumped into my arms and literally wrapped his legs around my waist. I have a tiny waist. Oh, shut up. No, he has long legs. That's what. But he wrapped himself around my waist. And you want to illustrate it? Come down here, Steve. We'll illustrate it. No, he doesn't have any legs. But he hugged my neck and kissed me on the cheek. And here's what he said. Daddy, I had somebody saved. Wait a minute. You were never the same after that. All because a youth director challenged you on a soul winning bus that night. Wait a minute. If the greatest youth director, I believe, in America, sorry, Eddie Lupina, you're on about number 9, but the greatest youth director, right there, cut that out of the tape, would you? But right there, there goes my pastor school appearance. But they'll probably want the flowers back, Mrs. Gray, but here's I believe it's because it. Okay. I'm not going to name the name, but there's another young man your age that sat on that same bus, took the same challenge, and he's been in jail while he became a youth director. Could it be that maybe this is the thing, the Jordan that you need to cross? Could this be the thing that might make the difference in your life as a husband? Is anybody listening to me? As a wife or a dad or a teacher or a businessman? Could it be tonight that maybe God knows what he's talking about? Could it be when God commanded his children to go soul winning that God had something more in mind than just, get people saved. But God had in mind something, forgive me for using this word, but therapeutic. Don't try to spell it. But something that what I'm saying that the psalmist said at the beginning, I shall not be greatly moved. But after about 4 verses, he began to shout it. I'll tell you what, I shall not be moved. Amen. That's why preachers start out in a sermon real slow, and then they start getting hyper and excited. Just order one of those tapes, run to the middle and play it. You sound like a madman screaming and hollering in the middle. Why? What am I doing? Preaching's helping me. It's helping me. It's helping me. That's why you ought to come back tonight. That's why you'll come back on Wednesday night. And if you miss church, you're a weak Christian. Listen, it's time that you rose up and said, I've got to open my mouth. I've got to start helping people, telling people the goodness of God. Most of you are, I shall not be greatly moved. I'll be moved a little. I'll go to a movie with you and I'll dress ungodly a little bit with you. But when you talk about the goodness of God, after a while, wake up. After a while, you'll say, I shall not be moved. Tell it. Telling will help you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Everyone standing, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one leaving. We'll be through in just a moment.